Well, don't stop, please. Isn't that what Johnny Carson used to do or something like that? So. Thank you all. I'm just thrilled to be back. I've been looking forward to this for a few weeks, and I appreciate Lewis for saying those kind words, and thank you. They've been great. He and Michelle have been great to us since we got here, and so encouraging. They have the gift of encouragement, obviously, and so it is my privilege to be able to office next to him, and especially when he gets into those real heated counseling situations, and it gets real loud in there and all. You know, we turn up the music. No, not really. It's never that way. So calming. He is such an encouragement to so many people, countless people through the years here at Champion Forest. And so it's an honor to work with him. You know, it's one thing when you start just teaching an emphasis on evangelism, but it's always good to know when things are really working and things are, you know, you're taking it outside the walls. And what's important, and we've been saying this over and over again, what's important to understand about this is that this is not just another program. We don't want people just to memorize all these points and then it's like you're going through some little checklist. Because, you know, the emphasis of this plan, if you will, is a high reliance on the Holy Spirit. And we will say that at the outset. Bill Fay will say that at the outset. It's a high level of reliance on the Holy Spirit. In other words, trusting that the Holy Spirit is the one that's doing the work. And you're just kind of joining Him in His work. You're being obedient to what God has called you to do because He has called us. He has referred to us as His witnesses. So we're witnessing every day. We're saying something about God every day. Either we're saying that God is all-powerful and He is the center of our universe. He's the center of our world. Everything in our life revolves around Him. Or by the way we live our lives, we are saying something else about God. That He is powerful but not all-powerful. He's not the center of our universe. He's not the center of everything in our lives. In other words, He, in essence, is just something else we've added to our life. So every day we live and how we live and what we say and what we talk about and as people watch our lives, we're witnessing, we're saying something about our God. Share Jesus Without Fear is about simply being obedient to be a witness. In other words, lifting up the name of Jesus, bringing up the conversation concerning Jesus. But then immediately is pointing people back to the Word of God. The premise is that faith comes by hearing and by hearing the Word of God. So it's not about even a technique. It's not even about having all the right answers. It's not about, it's about a heart that's obedient to the Lord. Because Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And it's a high reliance on the Word of God. Because it's the Bible that's going to bring, with the work of the Holy Spirit, that's going to bring conviction in people's hearts and bring enlightenment to them. So that's why we have the little New Testaments that we gave you. In fact, let me go ahead and give you some good news. It can get a little overwhelming when you look at the red book, the workbook, and then you've seen others carrying around the larger book. Those are the leader's guides for the teachers. And then you also have a regular size, normal looking book. It's also Share Jesus Without Fear. And that's the book actually written by Bill Fay, which is almost like him teaching the lesson. So you just kind of read it. It's very conversational. And then you have these little New Testaments as well. And so you're thinking, my goodness, what is Scott going to be teaching from? Well, don't worry about it because it all says the same thing. And that's the good news. In fact, if you have your little New Testament, the entire program is in the New Testament, in this little New Testament. If you have the, I think all of them should be the same. We ordered all of them, the Personal Evangelism New Testament by Holman. It's in the beginning as you kind of read through this, and then also the objection or answers to various objections you'll get. There's like 30 some odd objections or answers to objections. They're in the back. There's even the prayer to be able to lead them through a prayer or to allow the person to pray the prayer. So everything, it's a great little resource. So if you just simply take time to look through this and thumb through it, not now, of course. No, I'm just kidding. But if you take time to just read through it, then everything we're going to be talking about is in here. Now, where it gets a little confusing is that the students, their book, the student booklet that's kind of made a little bit more contemporary and a little bit more appealing to students with the artwork and the cover and all that sort of thing, it's divided up into 5 sessions. The adult curriculum was divided into 4 sessions. And we're teaching it in 3 sessions. So what does that tell you? That tells you that we've done some consolidating, and we've kind of, you know, taken the information as a whole and tried to divide it up into to 3 equally divided segments. Okay, so don't get confused by looking at the book and say, "Wait a minute, I can't follow him." In fact, if you're looking through the workbook, the red, does anyone have a workbook? I mean, I think I saw them right there. Yeah, the workbook that y'all are holding up. If you look through there, you're not going to be able to follow anything what I'm saying right now. With that. What that is for you to take that home, and it kind of covers each day. It has a reading for you each day. It's not even a whole lot of fill in the blank, but it just kind of, each day there's something to read to kind of just reemphasize the major points of Share Jesus Without Fear. Okay? So, why don't we do a little bit of review? And I want to make sure, now where's Philip here? I know you've got to be close. Is Philip there? Oh, he had to leave. Okay. Which arrow? I don't want to. Oh, yes, I hit the right one. Good. Okay. Share Jesus Without Fear. Let's kind of do a little review here about what's important to remember about this plan. First of all, you can't fail. You cannot fail. You might say, yeah, you don't know me. Yeah, no, I do. You can't fail. Because it's not about getting another notch in your belt. It's not about getting someone to pray the prayer. It's just simply being obedient to what God has called you to do. Now, I think Mark kind of worked these 5 points into his lesson last Sunday as he was still doing from a historical or biblical history perspective. But he talked about the 5 essentials in overcoming the fear. Okay, first of all, is a passion. You've got to develop a passion. How does that come? Well, you cannot manufacture that yourself. You can't just wake up one day and say, "Well, you know what? I'm just going to be passionate about evangelism." It doesn't work that way. You've got to constantly allow God to birth that within you. Okay, so the first one is passion. 1 Corinthians 9:22, "To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some." That's what Paul was saying. And you just hear from those words that he was pretty passionate about seeing people come to Christ. When we were in a restaurant, Lewis, and we took Dawana out for a secretary's day because she just does a great job for us, and we had missed it by a day, and so we wanted to make up for it, and so we took her out for lunch and took her to an area restaurant. And, you know, this is on our minds. You know, we've been talking about Share Jesus Without Fear. We kind of had the outline and all and so forth to kind of help us to start the conversation and whatnot. And so we're sitting there. But we just know, and just by the way it came up, that the waiter is there, and we just kind of got into that conversation, and we didn't even start from the quote-unquote beginning. We didn't even start with the first question that we're going to look at here in just a few minutes. We just jumped right in, and Lewis is looking at me, and I'm looking at him. We both know what we want to do. And so then I just say, "Hey, do you go to church anywhere?" And he said, "No, I haven't really gotten plugged in church." And so then he starts asking us where we work. And, "Hey, well, we're 2 pastors down here at Champion Forest Baptist Church." "Oh, really?" And that conversation started from a whole different way. And he said, "You know, yeah, I've been wanting to get plugged back into church." You see, once again, it wasn't about this victory of sitting there saying, "You know what, we had this guy, you know, he was serving us up our tea, and then all of a sudden he just fell on his knees and he prayed to receive Christ right there in front of in this crowded restaurant." That's not the goal. That's not the goal. So see, if we understand that since the Holy Spirit is already working and we're trusting Him to do that, then it's not up to us to get another notch in our belt. It's not up to us to get someone to pray the prayer. But it does begin with a passion. And that does start with you to be able to say, "Lord, give me a passion, not for evangelism, but give me a passion to see people come to know you as Savior and Lord." That's how we tag it, evangelism. But we want to see people come to know our Savior. That's the goal. And He can use us. Secondly, prayer. Luke 10, verses 2 through 3. "And He was saying to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest.'" Ephesians 6:18, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert." 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." You see, just from just 3 basic scriptures right there from the Word, we see that prayer is absolutely essential. It's essential. Pray without ceasing. You know what? When Lewis was asking that particular waiter something, I'm sitting there just quietly, not, you know, I wasn't I don't think I was moving my lips or anything, but and my eyes are open. You know, but I'm just saying, oh, Lord, make his heart open. Make his heart open. Make him receptive. Work on his heart. You see, that's God working on his heart. We're just simply being obedient to speak up on his behalf. But prayer is essential. We can't short-circuit the prayer. All right? Thirdly, partnership. And this is what we've kind of been mentioning, is that we're partners with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome that God has said, look, I'm going to allow you to be involved in my work. I'm going to let you have a part in this. I'm going to let you be involved in the process. And so we're partners with the Holy Spirit. John 16, verses 7 through 10 says, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Can you imagine Jesus telling his closest friends on earth that it's actually going to be better for them if he goes away? Well, think about that. Why was that? Because when Jesus was in the flesh here, he could only be in one place at one time. But when he was going to send the helper, then he would be with them wherever they were. And he promised them, said, wherever you go, I'm going to be there. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So he said, look, there's a next phase to my Father's plan that I know that's going to be hard to believe at first, but it's actually going to be better for you if I go away. Because see, I'm going to go back to the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit's going to come, and it's going to be different than how he's even lived in believers prior to this point, is that he's not only going to be with you, but he's going to be in you. So there's going to be a fresh work of the Holy Spirit there. And you're going to be partners with him. Listen to what he says when talking about this work of the Holy Spirit and why we have to rely, and it's up to the Holy Spirit that does the convicting and enlightening and drawing a person to Christ. And it's not on how well we can present a program or how many comebacks we've got to their objections, because Jesus said in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on that last day. So what Jesus is clearly saying there is that it doesn't matter how well you memorize this. If you're not coming with a passion that the Holy Spirit has birthed in your heart, and you're not bathed in prayer and continuously praying, even when you think, hey, this scenario, this situation is absolutely perfect. I mean, I know they're going to have to get saved now. Well, no, if there's not prayer there, then it's not. And that's just, once again, how we're partners with the Holy Spirit. And but then we get involved in the process, but still, even when we answer all of the questions and we have all the comebacks, it's still going to be God's Spirit drawing them and showing them and bringing them to that point of decision. Number four, power. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Acts 1, verses 7 through 9. So see, this has a powerful dimension. And you're not alone in this. And there's going to be times when you're going to be facing people and you may not feel like you're adequate or you're up to the task. But then the Holy Spirit will take over. Now, what are we doing today? What did we start last week? What have we been emphasizing? The emphasis for 3 weeks, and that is preparation. That's what we're doing. You know, other religions and cults, they prepare constantly. They prepare those times when they're going to come and they're going to get into a conversation with you at your doorstep. They're preparing. They're coming out with all the kind of scenarios. They're sitting down and they pose all the objections. Somebody plays the devil's advocate there, and they come up with objections so that they can be trained. They involve themselves heavily in preparation. Well, see, we sometimes study the Bible a lot, and we have a lot of biblical knowledge. I know in this class alone, we've got some serious biblical knowledge in here. But there's a tremendous disconnect if we take all this knowledge that we have, but we've not prepared. You see, in the military, they have the handbook, and they can memorize that handbook. But the preparation comes in the daily drills and applying those things that are in the handbook. And that's what discipleship is. And that's what we do, is we apply the things. So if we've got a lot of biblical knowledge, but when The folks on the bikes with the white shirts and the black ties come, and they're coming up our driveway, and we shut the door and lock it and then back up into the house and act like we're not there so that they'll eventually go away. There's been a disconnect, you see? If we are constantly meeting people, but we're never bringing up the name or the topic of Jesus, and that's the second question here, to you, who is Jesus? Well, you know what? If you were in the first service with John Avant, he really hit the nail on the head when he's talking about coming through the airport and all the books that are on the shelves, 14 out of 22 books, and has Jesus. Now, all of that's wrong information, but we can't say that Jesus is not a hot topic, right? And look at the number of times when it comes up to Easter or it's coming to Christmas, and you go through and you'll see the Time magazine or you see Newsweek magazine. And what are they? They're always having the latest stuff they found. Who was this man? You know, asking that question. Well, they've been asking it for years. And they'll continue to ask it. Because Jesus is set apart from every other world religion and world religious leader. He's totally unique. Why is that? Because he's God. And that makes him very unique from all the other leaders who started up a religion. But they're always asking the question. So see, we want to bridge that gap between the knowledge and then being able to start the conversation about Jesus. All right? So now, since Mark kind of covered the first session last time, let me kind of jump ahead here. You know, I don't know if he referred to John 3:16. Of course, we know John 3:16 by heart. But look, let's read it together if you can see that clearly enough. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now, I've put groups of words or four individual words in red. I've highlighted them. Why? Because we always read it in the positive, right? We always read it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. But you know what? If it's true in the positive, then the opposite must also be true. And what is that? Well, God loved the world. That doesn't change. That he gave his only begotten Son. That hasn't changed. He gave that. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to eternal life, right? However, here's where the change comes. But if this is true, then the opposite must be true. Then whoever does not believe in him will perish and will not have eternal life. See, that's what I'm wondering. If we are really convinced of that, and if we are convinced of that, how deeply rooted is that? And how does it affect how we see people that we encounter every single day? Do we actually see people that they're either on their way to life or they are literally on their way to death? Remember what Dr. Avant said about how they pray in Europe? He said, they don't pray a lot about physical healing. It's not that it's not important, but he said, you know what? It doesn't matter. If you get well today, you're still going to die. So eventually you're going to die. He said they pray for the big things. Strength in the midst of persecution. Courage in the midst of fear. They pray for the big things. Because that is what makes the eternal difference, is whether or not somebody is on their way to Christ or they're on their way from eternal separation. Now, we know this passage pretty well. Now, that's really small print. You're looking up there saying, my goodness. Well, let me just go ahead and read this. Now, Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out in the gateway where another girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses on himself. And he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. But we look at that, we think, that's tough. Well, see, Peter denied the Lord with his words. But every day we can deny the Lord with our silence. That we just don't say anything. We just don't even raise the topic. And like Dr. Avant was just saying in the first service, there's never been a time when people are talking more about Jesus.
than now. And so God in His mercy has even made it, even though it's tough because they're not believing the right things about Him, still, He's made it easy on us to be able to talk about something and get that topic going and get that subject going. And it's just a matter of preparing our hearts and being ready to do just that.
Well, let me skip ahead here. That was talking about the sin of silence. It's a deadly sin. It's not just that somebody is asleep spiritually. We have to understand that somebody is dead spiritually if they're not in Christ. They're not just they need to be kind of awakened, but they are dead spiritually. God can always use your witness, but He cannot use your silence. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know what, I'm not into that being too invasive with my faith. I don't like to put people on. So, you know, I just try to witness with my life. Well, that's good. If you want to do that, you're going to have to live a better life than Jesus. Because Jesus not only witnessed with His life, but He witnessed with His mouth as well. He was readily telling people. Whenever they look and say, hey, what is it about you? And He would tell them. So God intends for us to not only witness with our lives, but also witness with our mouths and tell them the truth. Now, I have known a few people that the way they live their lives, it would be better if they just kept their mouths shut without telling anybody that they're a Christian. Because sometimes that causes more problems. In fact, I kind of get horrified when I've seen some of how the way they live their lives and the inconsistency and the outbursts and everything else. And then all of a sudden they go up and they're trying to tell somebody about how Jesus has changed their life. And that may not be a good selling point. But nevertheless, we live our lives in obedience to Christ, in holiness, but we also speak up and we use our words. Success in witnessing is living out my Christian life, sharing the gospel, and trusting God for the results. Living out my Christian life, sharing the gospel, and trusting God with the results. Now, let's go to session two. We're going to learn a way to share Jesus without fear. Now, we've got the title again. What are some of the things that cause us fear? What are some of the things about witnessing that just, why we don't witness? Lack of knowledge. That's right. Sometimes I feel like lack of knowledge. Rejection. Yeah, we're rejected. You know what? We could be at work. We feel like, you know what? I may be isolated. I may be, you know, they may reject me. I may not get that next promotion if I turn, you know, if I am perceived as a, you know, a radical religious nut. So forth. You know, because a lot of people, it can just simply be that you saying that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and they'll label you a religious nut, you know, because that's pretty exclusive. You know, why aren't you open to all religions and so forth? And so, yeah, so we can be afraid of that. What are some other things? We said not enough time. Yeah, that is a real thing. We're always in a hurry. We're always in a hurry. You know what? And we're afraid. If I say anything about this, here's what we are afraid of. We are afraid of getting into a conversation. Not because we don't know what to say. It's just that we don't have time for it right now. And so sometimes we don't bring it up because we don't want them to ask any questions, because we don't want to get bogged down into a conversation, because we got to be somewhere. We're in a rush. And so sometimes it's a fear, not of a fear in trembling, but it's a fear of that I don't know where this might lead. So I'm just going to stay silent. And you know, when you think about that, about a relationship with Christ who's changed our lives, who's forgiven us for sin, who's preparing a place for us in heaven, and who's invited us to come and live with Him for all eternity, and yet our lives can be so racked with fear that we don't even have time to talk about that. Three simple steps to sharing Jesus without fear. They are 5 questions to determine where God is working, 7 scriptures, we'll get to the scriptures next week, and 5 questions bringing about a decision. In fact, we'll be looking at the scriptures and the points, the questions for a decision together, because they can almost happen simultaneously. As you're going through the New Testament, you can the scriptures. There can almost, for instance, if we're going through the New Testament and you get to John 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that's the first scripture that you turn to, okay? If you get there and somebody says, I realize I'm a sinner. How can I become a Christian? Don't say, wait a minute, I'm getting there. Hold on. You know, I've got a plan here. I've got to get through several more steps. I'll get there. Will you be patient? You know, don't do that. Man, jump on it right there. Ooh, this person's ready. Why? The Holy Spirit's already been doing some work. You see, the statistics show that the average person is going to need to hear about 7 times the issue raised about Jesus before they're going to come to a decision. Well, see, what happens if you're number 2? You see how important you are in the whole line here, in the whole chronological outplay here? That's how you might be number 2. So in other words, you say to you, who is Jesus? That's one of the questions here we'll look at in just a second. To you, who is Jesus? And they say, well, you know, I think he's a good teacher, and I think he said a lot of good things, and you know, he was a good man, he went around doing good deeds, but he's kind of in the same category as Gandhi and, you know, some of the other, Mother Teresa and some of these others, you know, that just did good works. And so they look at him from somebody who, did good works. But then you get to that final question in the first 5 questions. You get that final question, you say, now, if you were wrong about any of those things that you believe, would you want to know it? And they say, no, I'm pretty comfortable in what I believe, and no, I really wouldn't want to know that. Then you take that right there, that's a sign that the Holy Spirit has not gotten their heart to the point of being able to receive Christ. And then you start talking about the Astros, whether or not they're going to be able to keep it going or not, you know. Change the subject. You just go on. You don't keep trying to push it. Well, maybe you didn't understand what I asked you at first. Did you remember that scripture that we just read, Romans 3:23, where it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? You know, I mean, you don't keep pushing it. But if somebody says, no, I'm pretty comfortable with what I believe, you know what? You are probably maybe number 2. Because somebody else has brought that up, that subject up with them, and they've talked about it. Or you might be number 4. Lo and behold, one day you may go up, and you just get through reading, or they get through reading Romans 3:23, and they say, you know what? I've had 6 people ask me this same thing. What do I need to do to become a Christian? Boom, you're number 7. That person's ready to become a Christian because the Holy Spirit's been working on their heart. That's what's so exciting about this. Now, 5 questions determine where God is working. 7 verses to let the Bible speak, and that's right out of here. And we will talk about marking our New Testament, where it's so easy you don't even have to do a lot of memorizing there. You just, if you can turn to the first page, that'll get you going, and you'll be okay. And then 5 questions to lead to a point of decision. Now, let's talk about 5 questions to determine where God is working. The first question is, do you have any kind of spiritual beliefs? Do you have any kind of spiritual beliefs? Now, as you're asking these questions, you notice how general you're starting. Okay? And you ask a person, do you have any spiritual beliefs? Do people out there have spiritual beliefs today? Even people who don't go to church? Yeah. In fact, you'll find some real interesting spiritual beliefs out there by people who don't go to church. You'll find some real interesting spiritual beliefs by those people who do go to church. But nevertheless, there's a myriad of spiritual beliefs out there. And so it's non-threatening. You're just simply asking a question. You know, say, well, wait a minute. But how do you transition into that first question? What happens if you're down at the place, you're getting the oil changed in your car, you struck up a conversation with somebody, and he's talking about, you know, something, some world event, or you're talking about something, some of the things that's going on in your life, or they just moved from the north and they've been here for 2 years, and you're talking about those general type things. How do you get to that first question? Well, again, what are you doing to begin with? You've already been preparing, right? So you don't leave out the first things that we talked about. You don't leave out the fact that you have power from the Holy Spirit to be able to do this. It's not just you by yourselves. You don't leave out the fact that you're even praying. While there's somebody is telling you that they just moved down from the north, you can be praying, Lord, just give me silently. Lord, just help me to make this transition. Lord, give me the wisdom. Give me the strength. Give me the courage. Let me find the right word to be able to make this transition. And you can just simply introduce each one of these questions with, do you mind if I ask you a question? See, we're doing this now in church. And even when we stop doing this next week as an emphasis, you could make up your own little survey and say, you know what? Our church has been kind of wondering about what some of the spiritual beliefs are out there in our community. Do you mind if I ask you some questions? You know, the wonderful thing about this is that people love to tell you what they think.
Okay, they'll answer questions all day long. They love to tell you what they think. Okay, so you could even make up your own little survey. And you're not lying, because your church would like to know what beliefs people have out there. And you could just say, you know what, we had an emphasis on in our church, and I go to Champion Forest Baptist Church, and we were curious about what some of the beliefs are in people in our community. Do you mind if I ask you some quick questions? First one can be, do you have any spiritual beliefs? Now, what's important to remember here is that it doesn't matter what they say here. It doesn't matter. I mean, they may tell you, yes, I believe there's three gods and all three of them are you know, incredibly strong, and one is in the east and one's up the north, and in fact, I saw one of them last week, you know, at the bottom of my bed. I mean, they can tell you anything. And what you do is, you're not going to be shocked. You're not trying to come back with answers for these questions right here. This is just to get the topic going. The other thing that you have to be prayed up about is, because when they give you some of these answers, you don't want to do anything like this. What? You know, you don't do that. That'll kill it right there, okay? So you just listen, and they just kind of tell you these really, maybe some of these strange beliefs. They may tell you some beliefs that are really close. They may tell you, I believe that there's a God in heaven, and I believe that Jesus Christ was His Son and all. But you know what? Even if they answer that, that doesn't necessarily mean they're a Christian, because they may not yet have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You see? So, these are diagnostic questions. Remember, now some people in here have been trained in Evangelism Explosion. Some people in here have been trained in CWT, which is basically the Baptist version of Evangelism Explosion. Some of you have been using the four spiritual laws. You use tracts. Some of you have been using the Roman Road for years. Some of you have been using a myriad of different things to be able to share your faith. And here it is. Now that we're emphasizing share Jesus without fear, this is what we want you to understand. Keep using what you're comfortable with. Don't stop. This isn't to replace. This isn't saying, oh, this is better. No, in fact, all of it is right out of God's Word. It's right out of God's Word. It's just a way to reemphasize and to help us to focus and be intentional to share our faith. So when you ask this question, it's very, very broad, very basic. Do you have any kind of spiritual beliefs? You know what your response is? Whenever they start telling you, you go, And you're listening and you're looking at them, and, you know, and just let them talk. Second question is, here's what, like, we're at a great time in history to be able to do this. To you, who is Jesus? To you, who is Jesus? You'll probably today, you'll have a lot of people say the husband of Mary, right? The husband of Mary Magdalene, right? Da Vinci Code. He's a good teacher. He's kind of like Gandhi, started a great faith movement, you know, that sort of thing. Once again, you're not wanting to just immediately jump into it right there, because they're just telling you what they believe. Thirdly, do you think that there is a heaven and a hell? Now, once again, you'll get all kinds of responses with this. Do you believe there's a heaven and hell? Some will say, no. I believe there's a heaven. Don't believe there's a hell. And so, again, you're not trying to jump in there. You're just letting them talk. Because the fifth question is going to ask them that if they weren't quite right on some of those things, or maybe there was there's another understanding that the Word of God brings to that, would you want to know that? And see, here's another thing. You hear what I'm saying as I'm asking these questions? I'm asking them all different ways. Because you have to personalize this. This has to be coming from your heart. And so therefore, there's a lot of ways to ask these same basic questions. When you get to this third one, you could be saying, yeah, I've already asked you two questions. I know that. But can I ask you another one, if that's all right? Once again, you're asking permission to go to the next step with the people. And they're giving it to you. Because at any point when they say, no more questions, then you know right there, drop it. You're not going to try to force the issue. Do you think that there's a heaven and a hell? Once again, they may say, I believe there's a heaven. Don't think that there's a hell. And you just go, mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'd just like to ask you this. If you died right now, where would you go? If you died right now, where would you go? It'd be interesting to the number of people that will say they don't believe in heaven or hell, but then they'll say, well, probably heaven. Well, wait a minute. You know, okay, which one is it? Most everyone will say heaven.
And see, this is where I like to borrow, because I've been used to using a lot of these things in my opportunities to witness. But then you can borrow. For instance, a great little illustration to borrow from Evangelism Explosion is the three sins a day. Anyone remember that one, the three sins a day? You know, when you're trying to help somebody to understand that they're not going to be good enough to go to heaven in their own righteousness. And you say, you could even say something at the end when you get into the main program. I'm just kind of inserting it here, and we'll refer to it again later, because your answer here is just going to be, oh, okay, you know, something like that. But later on, when we illustrate the three sins a day, is you say, well, you know what? I used to think I would be good enough to one day get to heaven. Until somebody shared it with me one time, they said, you know what? You seem like a really nice person, and how many sins do you think you commit a day? You know, and sin is like jealousy, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. You know, not just the biggies, but even those little ones, those little white ones, you know, every once in a while. You know, what? How do you feel about that? Well, I don't know. I don't think I'm a really bad person. And that person asked me, well, how about, you think maybe three sins? You maybe only commit maybe three sins? Yeah, three sins. I'm a pretty nice person. Well, that's pretty good. And it looks really good. Three sins a day, you'd be almost near sainthood, I would think. But you know what? In a year's time, that's over 1,000 sins. Isn't that interesting? And you know what? The average person lives to be about 76 now. I think the time span's gone up a little bit here, but lifespan. But, okay, seven. But let's give you, like, say, 3 or 4 years off for good behavior when you were little, you know. But let's say the average person, when they die, about 72 years old. So if it's 1,000 sins, so when you stand before God, you're going to say, and He says, why should I let you into my heaven? You're going to say, well, God, I only committed 72,000 sins. Well, all of a sudden now it doesn't sound too good. You know, what would happen if you stood before a judge and he said, okay, you know, why are you standing before me? Well, I've only broken the law 72,000 times. I mean, judge, come on, let me offer good behavior? What? You know, you can't get to heaven that way. It's not good. Another one I like to say, and you can take a napkin to do this, and you just take a regular napkin. I've done this on the plane. I've done this in a restaurant and on. I take a napkin and say, you know what? Let me ask you, who is somebody that you would think would really be good? I mean, who are those people when they're talking about that they think they're a pretty good person? Well, you know, the top candidates, the top vote getters, well, Mother Teresa. Yeah, oh, yeah, she's definitely up there. You know, Billy Graham, oh, man, he's up there too. You know, here's some good folks. So they start naming these stellar individuals, and then you say, well, now who's somebody really bad? I mean, if you know they're not going to go to heaven. If there is a heaven, you know they're not going there. Oh, well, Stalin, yeah, he's down there. Charlie Manson, phew, man, he's way down there. Yeah, absolutely. You know, Saddam Hussein, definitely he's down there. Okay, so you got Mother Teresa, Billy Graham, these folks up here at the top, really stellar individuals. You got those really bad ones down here. Okay, now let me ask you this. If you got a line right here, and they're at the top, they're at the bottom, where are you? And they go, you know, they don't want to be too proud. Well, I'm right up here with Mother Teresa. I've never met one that says that yet, you know. But I've also never met one. Well, I'm right down there just above Saddam Hussein. You know, I've never met anyone like that. They always kind of put it right there in the middle. Well, I'm probably somewhere in here between. And then I ask this question. Okay, so if they're the really good ones, they're the really bad ones, you're kind of somewhere in between. Where's the cutoff line? Is it just above you or is it just below you? And I can't answer that. And that's why we say, for by grace are we saved through faith, in that not of ourselves. It is the free gift of God, not as the result of works, lest any man should boast. Because that's when I turn to them and say, you know what? That's what bothered me. I never knew where the cutoff was. And so I understood that I had to receive it by faith. You see, so there's ways to be able to get them thinking about whether or not they really are a good enough person to get to heaven. The final question is, if what you believe were not true, would you want to know it? Now, for some of you might say, ooh, boy, that's kind of really, that's abrasive. That's kind of in your face. Well, you know what? It is. It is a little bit. There's another way to ask that same question. Now, some of you who have the gift of the evangelist, not a problem. Not a problem. You know, you say, hey, man, I can't wait to ask that question. You know? But some, you know, of you say you may be a little higher on mercy. You know, that's going to be kind of hard to ask that question, because it's like you're saying, I'm right, I know the truth, and you don't. So I'm going to tell you what the truth is because you're wrong. You know, and it's just kind of a little hard to get there. But you can ask it another way. If some of the things that you believe isn't what God's Word says, would you want to know that?
and just leave it there. If they say no, then you leave it at that. If they say, you know, what you might get, sometimes they might say, no. And then you say, oh, okay. Well, I just wanted to just ask that question. And then you change the subject. And then you say, whoa, wait a minute. You know, I mean, if I had been interested, what were you going to tell me? You know, because their curiosity gets the best of them. You know, like, okay, maybe I'm not right. You know, I don't know. Because people are really open to all kinds of ideas and show me where I'm wrong. And that's then when you ask the next question. Say, would it be all right with you if I shared some scriptures with you that changed my life? And then that goes into what we'll look at next week. And then that's when you begin to allow them to read God's Word, and you help them with that. And as they read that, and then allow God's Word to do the convicting. So those are the five questions to determine where God is working. Once again, the emphasis of this is you can't lose. You can stay silent, but you can't lose. You can't blow it. Just be obedient. And even when you do think you blew it, God is strong, God is powerful, God is all-knowing, and the Scripture tells us that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. And so God can even take our mess-ups and turn something good about it. So as we end today, and I'm going to close this in prayer, what is it? Why are we going through this? Why are we talking about share Jesus without fear? A simple reason. We want to put this in the front of us and get our minds focused on how important it is for us who know Jesus to share with those who don't know Jesus. And also that our faith will be strengthened in the midst of it. All right? So you go in faith, go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this wonderful opportunity to prepare ourselves to share the greatest news the world could ever hear. Lord, strengthen us. Encourage us. Lord, put that passion within us as we prepare. Fill us with Your strength. Empower us to do what we cannot do in our flesh. We trust You, Lord. You have a wonderful track record, and we trust You. Use us for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.